Richland County has scheduled two key committee meetings for early September to address critical public services and administrative oversight. The Richland County Ad Hoc EMS District Formation Committee will meet Wednesday, September 2nd at 2 p.m. in the Richland County Boardroom of the Courthouse. During this session, the committee is slated to discuss and potentially act on the steering committee charter. Members will also review key takeaways, feedback, and action items from the recent towns meeting to determine recommended next steps. Additionally, the committee will focus on preparations for an upcoming town hall meeting intended for broader community engagement regarding emergency medical services. The following day, Thursday, September 3rd, the Richland County Community and Health Services Standing Committee will convene at 10:30 a.m. in the same boardroom on the third floor of the courthouse. The comprehensive agenda includes administrative reports from the Health and Human Services Director and Pine Valley Community Village, alongside detailed expenditures and budget summaries for 2026. Committee members will examine the HHS organizational chart and contract monitoring reports. A significant item for discussion and possible action is the approval of the application and acceptance of a Treatment Alternatives and Diversion, or TAD, grant, which aims to support local health and judicial initiatives. Scenic Hills National Wild Turkey Federation's Guns and Bingo will be held tonight at the Phoenix Center in Richland Center. Fuzz McCauley, a member of Scenic Hills NWTF and an organizer of the event, talks about the organization and what the money raised from tonight's event is used for.
Good group of people, and that's why I'm in it. In fact, I didn't even turkey hunt when I started being a part of this group, but just great people to be around, you know, outdoors people. So therefore, you know, when we talk about it being a Turkey Federation banquet or a group, this is a national group, so it extends quite a ways. So you start talking about, okay, what does this money go for that people are, you know, buying into and stuff. And locally, we do a Jake's Day, for example, where we include youth, and we try to do youth with a lot of stuff. But when you kind of extend outside of our local chapter, the state chapter has events and conferences and conventions. And then nationally, a lot of times it involves like biologists that are dealing with turkeys, turkey habitat, and then they do a lot of land leasing. You know, it's getting kind of to where it's difficult for people to find a place to enjoy the outdoors and conservation and the hunting. So therefore, it extends into the national level, you know, for people that want to be a part of that outdoors group.
Doors to the event will open at 5 o'clock and dinner will be served at 6:30. Following the meal, bingo will be played. An $80 single event ticket includes the meal along with four complimentary rounds of bingo. A $1,200 sponsor table purchase includes a reserved table, eight meals, and 32 complimentary rounds of bingo. The event will also have a raffle featuring guns and other items, door prizes, and a silent auction. For more information or to reserve tickets or a table, contact Fuzz by phone at 608-475-0863. You can also visit the NWTF website. The Village of Blue River's annual Autumn Fest celebration gets underway today and will run through Sunday. Money raised goes to the Blue River Fire and Rescue Squad. Justin Degenhardt is an organizer of the event.
It's the largest fundraiser that the fire department does. We have a couple smaller ones throughout the year, but this is our main event. And we're kind of looking into new gear for a few of the guys. Our requirements say they're 10 years old. They need to be replaced. We've got quite a few that are 11, 12, 13 years old. We're working on a couple every year trying to get it, which are $3,000 to $4,000 a set. So we just try to keep up on it every year, and this is pretty much where the money's going to go this year.
Tonight's events include the men's fast pitch tournament at 6 o'clock. The tournament will be held all weekend. Starting at 7, there will be a euchre tournament and water fights under the lights. Tomorrow, a full lineup of events will be held.
Saturday, 10 a.m., the Friends of Blue River sponsored some talks in the community building. Chasson's rib competition will start at 11. We have beanbag tournaments. Sign up at 12:30. We'll start throwing at 1. And Saturday afternoon at 2, we'll start our antique tractor pull. Roll that in at 6 o'clock into the farm tractor pull. 5 p.m. at the gazebo above the park there, which is right in with the tractor pull. We'll have our scavenger hunt around town. And then 8 p.m., high mileage starts.
On Sunday, there will be Monty Burger Cowboy Church at 9 o'clock, a chicken barbecue from 11 o'clock until gone, and the Autumn Fest Parade steps off at 2 o'clock. Lineup begins at 1. Grand marshals for the parade are hometown veterans who are invited to take part in the parade. Following Sunday's parade, there will be a sawdust money hunt, a kiddie tractor pull, and kids' water fights. The event will be capped off with music performed by the J.R. Brink Duo from 3 o'clock until 6 o'clock. There will be food and beverages all weekend. Please, no carry-ins. There will also be village-wide garage sales all weekend. A map of where the sales are held will be available for pickup at 201 Center Street. There's fun for all at Blue River's Autumn Fest tonight through Sunday. You can find more information on the Friends of Blue River Facebook page. The Woodman Aquatic Center in Richland Center will wrap up the summer with a special dive-in movie and luau featuring Mona 2 tonight at the Aquatic Center. The luau and activities get underway at 6:30, and the movie will be shown at 8 o'clock. Come early to enjoy the luau activities before finding the perfect spot in the pool or on the deck to catch the movie. The Woodman Aquatic Center gives a huge thank you to the Richland Center Lions Club and Richland County 4-H for helping make this event possible. Grab your swimsuits, towels, and the whole family for end-of-the-summer fun. A two-vehicle head-on collision on State Highway 58 prompted an emergency response and a brief highway closure Wednesday night. The Richland County Sheriff's Office reported that deputies were called to the scene near Smith Hollow Road at 10:01 p.m., following reports of the serious crash. According to preliminary investigations, the accident occurred when a southbound vehicle was negotiating a curve and crossed into the northbound lane. The driver lost control of the vehicle and struck an oncoming car head-on. One vehicle was occupied by two juveniles, while the second vehicle was operated by 62-year-old Jan Holloway of Cazenovia. Following the impact, Ms. Holloway remained conscious and alert, but reported suffering from neck and rib pain. Cazenovia EMS provided initial treatment at the scene before transporting her to the Richland Hospital for further evaluation. The two juveniles involved were also evaluated by emergency medical personnel and were subsequently taken to the Richland Hospital by their parents. The incident led to the closure of State Highway 58 between Lost Hollow Drive and Lloyd for roughly 30 minutes as emergency crews worked at the scene. Authorities have since cited the juvenile driver for operating left of the center line. Wisconsin's state budget surplus is growing. Preliminary Wisconsin Department of Revenue figures for 2025-26 show state tax collections came in more than $450 million higher than expected. That grows the state's projected surplus for the end of the 2025 through 27 budget cycle to nearly $3 billion. Wisconsin collected $10.6 billion in individual income tax, $8.2 billion in sales and use taxes, and $3 billion in corporate income and franchise taxes over the fiscal year. Jayco is an American retro pop and rock and roll powerhouse, widely regarded as an undeniable triple threat. Fusing classic rockabilly grit with a sophisticated modern sound, he's carved out a unique space in the music industry as a singer, songwriter, and producer. Often described as a modern-day Elvis with musical influences ranging from Prince to Bruno Mars, Jayco delivers a simple complexity in his music that teleports listeners across generations within a single track. The artist is best known for his high-energy stage presence and a high-voltage stage show that captivates audiences of all ages. Fans will have the opportunity to experience this eclectic performance live when Jayco takes the stage at the City Auditorium Saturday, September 5th. The show is scheduled to run from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. at 182 North Central Avenue, the Richland Center City Auditorium. Tickets for this highly anticipated event are priced at $20 for general admission, making it an accessible experience for music lovers. In a gesture toward his multi-generational fan base, children under the age of 10 will be admitted for free. For more information and to explore his retro-futuristic sound, fans can visit his official website. Governor Tony Evers announced yesterday that Wisconsin is joining a multi-state legal challenge against the Trump administration targeting new funding requirements for the federal Title X program. The lawsuit alleges that the administration is attempting to inject political ideology into medical decisions by requiring healthcare providers to align their services with partisan priorities. This shift threatens the state's access to essential reproductive and preventative care, including cancer screenings, contraception, and STI testing, which thousands of Wisconsinites depend on. Governor Evers emphasized that the freedom to make personal health care decisions should remain with the individuals rather than bureaucrats. He characterized the administration's actions as an unconscionable attempt to make health care harder to find and more expensive for everyday citizens. According to state officials, these new requirements put the health services of more than 7,300 Wisconsinites at immediate risk, potentially rolling back decades of established bipartisan support for family planning services under the Title X funding system. Beyond the Title X lawsuit, the governor highlighted a broader pattern of policies that he argues have harmed Wisconsin families. This includes the expiration of enhanced premium tax credits, which contributed to a significant drop in Affordable Care Act enrollment, affecting approximately 45,000 residents in the state. Furthermore, recent data suggests that the average Wisconsin household has faced over $2,000 in increased costs for basic goods and utilities since the start of the current presidential term, a figure that nearly doubles for those purchasing health insurance through the ACA marketplace. Umpqua Chamber of Commerce is proud to invite the community to a special ribbon-cutting ceremony marking the arrival of two exciting new businesses. Round River Distilling and the Day Moon Restaurant will officially celebrate their opening September 9th at 12 noon. Located at 741 South Main Street, this dual opening represents a significant addition to the vibrant local business landscape of Viroqua. The ceremony offers a unique opportunity for local leaders, fellow entrepreneurs, and residents to gather and support the growth of the community. In a collaborative launch, Day Moon Restaurant will open its doors within the same building as the distillery, providing a seamless experience for visitors looking to enjoy both high-quality spirits and exceptional dining in one location. Immediately following the formal ribbon cutting, attendees are encouraged to stay for an open house. Guests will be able to tour the new facilities, engage with the dedicated owners and staff, and gain insight into the unique products and services that Round River Distilling and Day Moon bring to the area. The American Red Cross urges donors to give blood or platelets now to help hospitals and transfusions stay prepared. Blood drives are being held today from now until 1:30 at the Wanewoc Public Library, from now until 4 o'clock at the Lafarge Community Center, and from now until 5 o'clock at St. Anthony and Philip Parish Center in Highland. Appointments may be made by calling 800 Red Cross. Walk-ins are always welcome. As Stacy Mitchell of The Atlantic has reported, the disappearance of many independent grocery stores in the United States is often attributed to socioeconomic factors like poverty or low population density. Yet this explanation overlooks a critical historical shift. Until the late 1980s, small towns and low-income urban neighborhoods typically maintained a variety of local grocery options. The modern phenomenon of the food desert is intrinsically linked to the decline of independent grocery retailers, a trend that accelerated when federal policy moved away from competitive market protections. At the heart of this transformation is the Robinson-Patman Act of 1936. This legislation was specifically designed to prevent price discrimination, making it illegal for suppliers to offer preferential deals to giant retail chains simply because of their size. By banning these unfair advantages, the act ensured that competition was based on efficiency and service rather than raw purchasing power. During the mid-20th century, consistent enforcement of the act by the Federal Trade Commission maintained a balanced market where independent grocers and national chains thrived side by side. The landscape shifted dramatically in the 1980s when the federal government effectively stopped enforcing the Robinson-Patman Act. Unable to obtain competitive pricing, thousands of independent grocery stores were forced out of business. As local independent stores disappeared, large chains felt little pressure to invest in low-income or rural areas, often counting on residents to travel long distances to their consolidated regional hubs. To address the gaps in these communities, many experts now argue that the rediscovery and renewed enforcement of the Robinson-Patman Act is essential. By restoring a level playing field, local entrepreneurs could once again compete fairly, bringing the potential for the return of more grocery stores to areas that have lost them. Transportation safety advocates and officials gathered recently in Wisconsin Dells for the annual Governor's Conference on Highway Safety. Hosted by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation, the event served as a critical platform for discussing the state's primary goal of eliminating preventable traffic deaths. The conference centered on the theme Zero in Wisconsin, a comprehensive initiative aimed at reducing the number of fatalities on state roads to zero by fostering better community involvement and statewide coordination. A central pillar of this year's discussion was the SAFE system approach. This methodology shifts the focus of traffic safety by acknowledging that humans are fallible and that the transportation system must be designed to accommodate mistakes without resulting in loss of life. The approach integrates five key elements: safer roads, safer speeds, safer vehicles, safer people, and effective post-crash care. By addressing these factors in unison, WISDOT and its partners hope to create a multi-layered safety net that protects all road users across the state. WISDOT Secretary Christina Boardman and Wisconsin State Patrol Superintendent Tim Carnahan both emphasized that achieving zero fatalities requires more than just enforcement. They highlighted the need for a cultural shift where safe driving becomes the standard expectation for every motorist. Through educational sessions on the latest engineering solutions and data analysis, the conference provided partners from local, state, and tribal agencies with the tools necessary to implement the SAFE system approach in their own communities, reinforcing the state's long-term dedication to highway safety. Wisconsin employers continue to express overwhelming confidence in graduates of the Wisconsin Technical College System. According to the newly released 2026 Employer Satisfaction Report, data shows that 97% of employers are satisfied with the education technical college graduates receive, while 96% would hire a graduate again and 92% would recommend a graduate to other employers. Additionally, 97% of businesses state that their local technical college is vital to their overall success. These findings are supported by the 2025 Graduate Outcomes Report, which highlights that 92% of graduates in the labor force found employment within 6 months of graduation, while 81% working in careers directly related to their training. Furthermore, associate degree graduates reported a median annual salary of over $60,000 within the same six-month window, underscoring the significant return on investment provided by a technical college education. The employer survey indicates that businesses highly value the skills and preparation WTCS graduates bring to the workforce. This success stems from the system's close collaboration with employers to develop and deliver more than 500 industry-aligned programs. Through these partnerships, students gain the essential technical knowledge, workplace competencies, and hands-on experience required in modern industry. The impact of WTCS graduates on the state economy remains significant. In addition to high employment rates, 93% of graduates choose to remain in Wisconsin after completing their education. This retention plays a critical role in helping employers fill high-demand positions in fields such as healthcare, manufacturing, information technology, and the skilled trades. Two students at Southwest Wisconsin Technical College, Storm Marshall Buss and Jory Vile, have been recognized for their academic commitment and future potential in agriculture by the Wisconsin Rural Opportunities Foundation. These scholarships are designed to support rural Wisconsin students who intend to bring their skills back to their home communities after graduation. Storm Marshall Buss, an agribusiness student from Belmont High School, was named one of only seven WROF Premier Scholars in the state, receiving a $3,000 scholarship sponsored by Rural Mutual Insurance. Marshall Buss grew up on her family's organic farm and entered Southwest Tech with half of her program already completed through dual enrollment. She expressed profound gratitude for the award, noting that it allows her to focus entirely on her studies without the immediate stress of educational expenses. Jory Vile, an animal science student from Boscobel, received the $500 Alicia R. Crow Board Scholar Award. Currently entering her second year and working as a calf barn assistant manager, Vile highlighted the supportive environment at Southwest Tech and the relief that such financial support provides. Both students were active in FFA during high school, a foundation that helped shape their dedication to the Wisconsin agriculture industry. The WROF continues its mission of strengthening rural communities by investing in the education of students in fields ranging from agriculture to healthcare. Dr. Alicia Crow, WROF Board Secretary, emphasized the importance of these scholarships in preventing financial challenges from derailing the educational plans of promising rural students.